preaching about the most holy and undivided Trinity is never easy. Some wise clergy suggest that Trinity Sunday, which today is a good day to invite the bishop to come and preach. The theologians are often asked to explain the Trinity, which is, of course, to miss the whole point of it. Christian teaching of the Trinity is not an explanation of God. It is rather a description of what we understand about God, albeit contrary and contradictory, contrary to logic as we know it. In 1997, a 14-year-old American schoolboy won first prize at a science fair by showing how conditioned people have become to alarmists who use questionable science to spread a fear of everything in our environment. In his project, he urged people to sign a petition demanding total elimination, or at least strict control, of a chemical called dihydrogen monoxide, because, as he explained, it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting, death can result from accidental inhalation, it's found in cancerous tumours, in its gaseous state it can cause severe burns, it contributes to the erosion of the natural landscape, it's a major component of acid rain, and finally, he added, it decreases the effectiveness of the brakes of motor vehicles. He asked 50 people if they would support a ban. 43 said yes, 6 were undecided, and only one knew that the chemical he was talking about was otherwise known as water. Christian understanding of the nature of the Trinity can sometimes become similarly and artificially conditioned. Early Christians worshipped God, but they also knew that Jesus was God and that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, who was also God, to be with them. This complex truth was embodied in the use of the word Trinity. It's not a word that Jesus used, it's not a word found anywhere in the Bible, but it is used by the Church to describe what we know about God. This is the important point. The Trinity doesn't try to explain God, because nobody can do that. It just describes what we know about God. It is, as I have said, contrary to logic, because what we do know about God is totally beyond our understanding. One day, we might be able to comprehend it, in the same way that we've come to realise, in the last 500 years or so, that planet Earth is spherical in shape and orbits the Sun. But at the moment, the Trinity is a mystery. It's a special Sunday in the Church's calendar, and it's been celebrated since 1334, when Pope John XXII established it as the Sunday after Pentecost. It's a Sunday that's not tied to any special event. We don't have to bring to mind any particular person or enact any distinct rituals. Instead, it's a day when we remember just God for himself. It's a day to focus our hearts and minds on him. It's a bit like a birthday, when all we do is celebrate a specific person and that individual's presence with us. But of course, when we celebrate God, we have a problem of sorts. Do we celebrate God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Should we have 3 days, one for each of them? This sometimes presents difficulties for Christians. The Church's Trinitarian doctrine is, as you might expect, threefold. God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of these persons is fully God, and there is only one God. In attempts to try to develop an understanding of the Trinity down the ages, various symbols have been adopted. The first, and perhaps most obvious, was the triangle. It has three sides, but it is not three sides, it's a triangle. It's a poor illustration because, unlike the Trinity, each side of the triangle is not a triangle. St. Patrick, you remember, used the example of the shamrock, which appears to have three leaves, but which is actually only one leaf. Each of the parts is an essential component of the leaf, but the leaf is greater than just the three parts. Like the triangle, this illustration fails because each leaf is only part of the shamrock. Any one leaf cannot be said to be the whole shamrock. Within the Trinity, each of the persons is not just a separate part of God. Each person is fully God. Perhaps the best pictorial representation of the Trinity may be seen in the leftmost panel of the carved wooden reredos behind our altar. It's difficult to see with the candlesticks in front of it, so I'll try to describe it. It consists of a triangular-shaped shield. Within the shield's three corners, there are three circular small panels, and there's a larger, more decorated panel in the centre. The corner panels are labelled Pater, Filius, and Spiritus Sanctus, and the central one, Deus. I'm sorry about the language, but this shield of faith, or this Scutum Fidei, is traditionally created in this Latin form. There are links connecting each panel to every other panel, and these too have Latin inscriptions. Those ringing the shield, that is, those connecting the outer panels to each other, have non est, while those linking the outer panels to the central one each say est. What does it all signify? Well, even if you are not classical scholars, you'll have gathered that the word God, Deus, is at the centre, surrounded by panels indicating the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Est means is, and non est means is not. So the Father is not the Son, nor is he the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father, and so on. But all three are God, and God is likewise all three. And I've placed a diagram of the Scutum Fidei on the table at the back of the church, so you can have a glance at it if you like while you have a cup of tea. In the New Testament, the difficulty of speaking of God in traditional terms as one God became obvious, because there is Jesus, and then there are his references to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the best illustration of the difficulty can be seen in the episode of Jesus' baptism. After Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So we have Father and Son and Holy Spirit all in one short biblical episode. Trying to understand the Holy Trinity can be a little like trying to understand the science of atomic theory. In the early years of the 19th century, John Dalton proposed an hypothesis that atoms were the essential building blocks of matter, and they were incapable of further subdivision. Then in 1917, along came Ernest Rutherford and split the atom. And we were subsequently taught that there were, in fact, protons and neutrons and orbiting electrons. I must admit to being totally confused by today's physics that has positrons and mesons and neutrinos and gluons and strange things called quarks in the atomic vocabulary. All atomic theories, simple or complex, are just models that explain something about how atoms work. They don't tell us what they are. So it is with the Trinity. Trinitarian theology tells us something about how God has revealed himself to us, what God has done in history, and how God works in human events. But it doesn't tell us who God is. That is, I suppose, the secret of the experience we have of God, this understanding we have of God as Trinity. It doesn't tell us fully, but it does tell us something important nevertheless. But how much better to have some understanding than none at all. That is why we as Christians ascribe to the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It helps us to understand how God has revealed himself to us. The doctrine of the Trinity is not a mathematical puzzle, and it's not a set of academic formulae for theologians to discuss and debate, although they have done and continue to do so. It is a belief born out of the experience of ordinary Christians as a real-life answer to the question, where do we find God? It's an answer that we believe God continues to reveal to us. God has made himself known to us in a unique way, namely that there is only one God, who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. There is one God who is loving, just, holy, intimate, powerful, wrathful, awesome, forgiving, and light and life itself. And this revelation has developed over time. It was not, for example, until the 4th century that pneumatology, the academic science of the Holy Spirit, began to occupy the minds of the Church Fathers. If you study this complex yet fascinating subject, you may come across the Greek word perichoresis. It's used by theologians to describe the triune relationship between the three persons of the Trinity. Among translations are phrases such as co-indwelling, co-inhering, mutual interpenetration. It's a word that very much expresses the view of the Trinity shown in the Scutum Fidei, the shield of faith that I described earlier. This understanding is also very much the basis of the third and least known of our Christian creeds, written by perhaps the greatest theologian of the patristic church. A 4th century bishop of Alexandria, Athanasius is the man outside the pages of the New Testament to whom we chiefly owe the preservation of our Christian faith. If you wish to study the Athanasian Creed, it's to be found in our Scottish Prayer Book, and you can find it on page 41. It's worth a read. St. Augustine of Hippo, another great 4th century father of the Church, wrote his own academic treatise on the Trinity, entitled De Trinitate. Scholars argue that in his writings, Augustine vacillated between tritheism, which is a belief in three gods, and something called modalistic monarchianism, a belief that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not one God, but are one kingly person. We needn't involve ourselves in this arcane debate this morning. However, tradition has it that while trying to formulate his understanding of these complex matters, he walked along his native North African seashore. A small boy had dug a hole in the sand and was running backwards and forwards with a container, carrying water from the sea and pouring it into the hole. Augustine was so intrigued that he asked the child what he was doing. "I'm going to put the sea into my hole," he replied. "But that's impossible," said Augustine, and at that very moment realized that his attempts to explain the Trinity in words written on a page were equally impossible. Our Christian creeds have been formulated, adjusted, fine-tuned and honed down the centuries to inculcate in us a belief that God is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. He is one God in three persons, and that is all we are expected to believe. Today, the Church celebrates that Trinitarian faith.